نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا
الله وحده لا الله praise him, seek his help, ask him for his forgiveness. I bear witness that there is no one worthy of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad is his servant and messenger. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon him, his household, and his companions.
الدرس الماضي من الحديث عن رؤية الله سبحانه وتعالى وما يتعلق بها من المسائل.
We still were talking about the Aqidah al-Tahawiyya, and we talked already about seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whatever related to that.
زل ولم يصب التنزيل فإن ربنا جل وعلا موصوف بصفات الوحدانية منعوت بنعوت الفردانية ليس في معناه أحد من البرية. وهذا الجزء يعني تتمة الكلام على ما قبله من الإيمان برؤية الله سبحانه وتعالى.
Believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, believing in seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, said whoever does not avoid negating the attributes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and resembling him to the characteristics of the created, he would be deviated and he will go astray. And this meaning repeated more than one time in this
Aqidah.
So this is a warning in the verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said there is nothing like him and he is the all-seeing, all-hearer. And he is the one singular for all his characteristics, nothing like him. And as he does not have anybody resembling him, he has nobody even close to him in his characteristics. Glory be to him, far away from any limitations or any confinements, or to be under control of any instrument. And the six directions does not confine him or limit him like any other creation.
حدود جمع حد. الحدود جمع حد وهو ما ينتهي إليه الشيء. جمع حد وهو ما ينتهي إليه الشيء. فالله سبحانه وتعالى تعالى عن الحدود، يعني أن تكون صفاته محدودة بحد تنتهي إليه هذه الصفات.
And glory be to him for our limits or any imagination or any limit.
وليس لله غاية.
So he is beyond having limits placed on him or being restricted or having parts or limbs. Nor is he contained by the six directions as all created things are.
وأدوات الاكتساب عند العبد والآلات التي يستجلب بها النفع ويستدفع بها الضر. فيقول يعني إن الله
so the author here says that Allah glory be to him, he is far from all resemblance. Especially this position here is one of the things that have been observed or reserved for the author, and it is taken against him. And some of the scholars of Ahl Sunnah, they counted this as one of the shortcomings of the author.
ولا تحويه الجهات الست كسائر المبتدعات. هذا الموضع مما أخذ على المؤلف رحمه الله تعالى من جهة يعني أن الكلام في صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى لابد فيه من التوقيف من جهة النفي ومن جهة الإثبات.
talking about the descriptions of Allah, it has to be based on revelation. Whatever you prove for Allah or you negate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it has to be based on revelation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purified from any shortcoming or any defect.
حقه وتحتمل معاني باطلة فمثل هذه الكلمات لا ينبغي الخوض فيها لا بنفي ولا بإثبات مثل هذه العبارات التي استعملها المؤلف هنا مسألة الحد والغاية مسألة الأركان والأعضاء والأدوات هذه الأمور يعني ليس من هدي السلف الصالح رضوان الله
So to talk in details about that or mention such words like being restricted or having parts or limbs and so on and going in details like that, it is not among the way or not the way expressed by the scholars of the
Sunnah.
If a person says, for example, that Allah Himself is a part of the creation, that means he's in their bodies and he's united with them. Of course, this meaning is not correct.
قد يؤدي إلى هذا المعنى الباطل وهو حلول الله في خلقه أو اتحاد.
So does the
هنا حتى نخرج عنه يبقى هنا نثبت الحد لكن في نفس الوقت إثبات الحد برضو يلزم عليه معاني باطلة أن تكون صفات الله محدودة بحد مثل صفات المخلوق مخلوق مثلا
So to give a definition, is it from Allah سبحانه وتعالى or it is out of the person's own effort? So if you give the definition or prove the definition, there will be problem, and if you negate the definition that you give, is a problem. So those words that he used is better not to use, even though some of the imams they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is on his throne in a way, on a specific way. So to be safe, a person should not talk about those issues, whether in negative or affirmative. Also, to have limbs and instruments and those things that the person uses or the senses of a human being. So those words, a person can use it in a way of negating from Allah, the saying that Allah does not have any limbs.
And this
will lead to say that Allah does not have hands, that Allah does not have eyes, Allah does not have fingers, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not have feet or so on, even though it is proven in from Quran and Sunnah that Rasulullah sallam said Allah will put his foot in Jahannam, in hellfire, until it will say enough, enough. And it will shrink to itself. Also, the shin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will revere will reveal his shin, so everyone would prostrate. So in the hadith of intercession, hadith of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri, in Bukhari and the Muslim, he said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in the day of judgment in a form that no one knows. And this ummah will have hypocrites, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah will tell them that I am your Lord. They say that am your Lord. He said, no, you are not our Lord. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come in another form or another shape that they will say, no, you are not your Lord. He said, is there a sign? They said, yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that He will reveal His shin. So Allah will do that, and then everybody will prostrate to Allah. So the hypocrites will come and try to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will and they will try to prostrate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not be able to because they were not prostrating to Allah sincerely in this world, and their back will be flattened. So this hadith here have proven that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have feet and have a shin and have a form. So there are also some of the rules that distinguishing people of Sunnah from people of Bid'ah, and that's people of Sunnah, they detail in proving characteristics to Allah, but they speak generally when they are negating something from Allah, and this is the way Quran and the Hadith did. Like the book of Tawheed of Ibn Khuzaima, so he is giving his with the chain of narration to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and you will find that there are many sections proving the thumbs to Allah, proving the characteristic of fingers to Allah, proving the hand to Allah, proving the eye to Allah. So for affirming, he would give narrations and narrations and details and details. So for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala smiling, or for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is laughing, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mad and so on, or angry at someone and so on. But in the matter of negating from Allah that He's similar, or we say that there is nothing similar to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is glorified and purified from any shortcoming and the defect. And this is the way of the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you look to, if you look to the characteristics that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala negated from Himself, you will find that Allah negated
التصريح بنفيها على سبيل التفصيل مثل مثلا صفة الطعام يعني الأكل والشرب تجد أن الله سبحانه وتعالى قال إيه وهو يطعم ولا يطعم وهو يطعم ولا يطعم فالله تعالى لا يطعم مثلا نفى عن نفسه النوم والسنة لا تأخذه سنة.
الله سبحانه وتعالى negated also that he does not sleep, he does not doze off. الله سبحانه وتعالى is الصمد, the one who does not eat or drink.
فالصفات المنفية عن الله سبحانه وتعالى سنجد أن مثلا هنا مسنا من لغوب صفة
الله سبحانه وتعالى said that no tiresome or no exhaustion touched us. So Allah سبحانه وتعالى negated few few characteristics. Other than that, we negate from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He is the purified, that there is nothing like Him, the glorified, the dignified, the peace means the one who is far from unpurified and dignified, away from any defect or shortcoming. When you say the word subuh or kudus, means you are affirming the purification of Allah from any defect. But about negating a specific characteristic, we stop, except if it is a pure defect from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But any general characteristic, we have to stop, and we do not rush.
إثبات فنثبت لله تعالى تفصيلا ما أثبته لنفسه. عكس طريقة أهل البدع. ننظر إلى طريقة أهل البدع تجدها عكس طريقة القرآن وعكس طريقة السلف.
When you see the way of the people of بدع, you say it is against Quran, it is different from the people of Sunnah. You find, for example, the people of Ash'ari.
صفات الله سبحانه وتعالى يقول لك إن الله تعالى ليس بجسم وليس بعرض وليس.
That they said Allah is not a body, he is not confined, he is not up, he is not down, he is not right, he is not the left, he is not above the world, he is not under the world. He's not in the world, he's not out of the world. And they make many details very vast about negation. And they use words which does not exist. The characteristic of body or
فيخوضون بآرائهم وعقولهم في إثلاء في نفي وصفات لم ترد.
So they go with their brain to things that it never came.
وكل هذا يعني لم يرد له ذكر لا في القرآن ولا في السنة لا بنفي ولا بإثبات. السلامة يعني عدم الخوض في هذه الألفاظ المجملة. وإذا سئلنا هل هي حق أو باطل نقول والله على حسب.
So if we are asked, we say according to whoever said it.
قائلها إذا كان مراد قائلها يعني بالنفي الأعضاء يعني نفي اليد ونفي العين عن الله سبحانه وتعالى فنقول هذا معنى باطل هذا معنى باطل.
So we say that this is a false way of doing it. And if the person trying to negate the characteristic of the hand altogether or the characteristic of the eye altogether, we say this is false. Assumption or false belief, and if he's trying to negate only the resemblance, then you say this is right. So that's why it brings that danger of area of doubt. What does it mean, the six directions? The east, the west, the left and the right, and up and down. Those are the six directions. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not confined by the six directions. Someone would use it maybe and denigrate the characteristic of the highness or being above. And someone will just use it to negate about the confinement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fi jihat al-ulu, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fawqa as-samaa' as-sabi'ah, walakin as-samawat la tuhitu billah subhanahu wa ta'ala wa al-'alam muhitu billah li'anna Allah ta'ala bi kulli shay'in muhit.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, someone will use it and say that it's something confining Allah or restricting Allah, then it's right. Rasulullah said, oh Allah, you are the first, nothing before you, and you are the last, nothing after you, and you are the above, nothing is above you. And you are al-batin means nothing is below you. Means nothing is confining you or around you, surrounding you. That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encompassing time.
وأنت الباطن فليس دونك شيء يعني لا يخفى عن علم الله سبحانه وتعالى شيء مهما أخفى الإنسان.
So whatever the person hiding, nothing escapes the knowledge of Allah. So nothing escapes the knowledge of Allah, and at the same time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above everything, and this is proving that Allah is above everything and is encompassing everything and nothing encompasses Him.
استعمله من شرح العقيدة الطحاوية من.
So this part, whoever used to explain العقيدة الطحاوية from the people of innovation, they used it. So they benefited from those words and they interpreted to their desire and to their belief. So they said there is no Allah is not above.
مما يناسب هذا الموضع يعني أن نتكلم عن.
So it is fit here to mention that how Allah is above and what is relating to it. Among the important parts of Aqeedah or important sections of Aqeedah
معنى الأول علو القهر، معنى الأول علو القهر بمعنى أن الله تعالى ليس له مغالب وليس له منازع، بل كل شيء تحت سلطان
الله. علو في الله or Allah being above means there is no one disputes it with Allah and nothing overcomes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and everything is under the authority of Allah and the power of Allah. And the علو of the status of Allah means the highness of the status of Allah means Allah is above anything which contradicts His Lordship, which contradicts
فهذا علو الشأن أن الله تعالى منزه عن كل نقص وعيب.
That means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is purified from any shortcoming and any defect.
هذان المعنيان من معاني العلو.
Those two meanings.
لم يخالف فيهما أحد ممن ينتسب إلى الإسلام أو يدعي الإسلام. لا يوجد أحد يدعي الإسلام أو ينتسب إلى دين الإسلام إلا وهو يقر يعني بعلو الله سبحانه وتعالى، علو قهر وعلو شأن. لكن يأتي
so Allah is above everything.
معاني العلو وهو الذي يحتاج إلى تفصيل واستدلال، وهو علو
and the part
الفوقية.
That this is the concept of being above any everything and anything. But the one that have the dispute is not this one, but the one which is being above his throne, above the seven heavens, means he is separated from his creation. This is the one that they debate on. So this type is what is proved and confirmed by the guided predecessors and the ulama or the scholars of Sunnah. And this type of highness does not contradict that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears and sees and knows, being with us with His
الله سبحانه وتعالى وهو مستوى على العرش يعلم أحوال عباده ويسمعهم ويراهم سبحانه وتعالى، لكنه يعني بائن من خلقه ومستوى على عرشه الذي هو فوق السماوات.
So Allah سبحانه وتعالى is above His seven heavens and He is separated from all His creation.
سبحانه وتعالى ذكر العلماء أن أدلة العلو من الكتاب والسنة أكثر يعني من الكتاب فقط، قالوا أكثر من ألف دليل من القرآن الكريم فضلاً عن
so there is about 1,000 proofs from Quran that Allah is above His creation.
تندرج تحت أنواع، كل نوع يضم تحته إما عشرات أو مئات أو آحاد يعني من النصوص التي وردت تحت كل نوع من هذه الأنواع.
And you have many narrations of the Sunnah, and those proofs does not leave any area for doubt.
علو الفوقية لرب العالمين سبحانه.
That Allah سبحانه وتعالى is above.
ضمن أنواع هذه الأدلة الأدلة لا يعني سنذكر إيه يعني أمثلة لكل نوع.
And they will mention some of the proofs, not all of them, because you cannot mention all of them.
كل نوع.
We will just make them categories, and every category has many verses under.
فالنوع الأول من أنواع أدلة علو الفوقية أسماء الله تعالى الحسنى المتضمنة.
The glorified names of Allah سبحانه وتعالى that has or indicates the علو or being above. Like الأعلى المتعالي الظاهر means the one who's above. And it is mentioned in At al-Kursi, it mentioned Al-Kabir al-Mut'al, he is the first and the last, and he is the one who is above. Glorify the name of your Lord, the highest. So the name of Allah al-Ali, al-A'la. And being above does not means all the types of being above. So no one can say that it does not include that. We tell him, bring a proof for your statement to exclude any type of being above, of highness. The other type is the verses of being above his throne, and there are seven. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala above his throne. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he created heavens and earth, then he stood above his throne. The scholar said means he ascended to the throne, he sat on the throne, he became high on the throne. All of those are the expressions of the guided predecessors. So those are the meaning of being above. And the verses is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that at that day seven angels will be holding the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when the Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, he judged against the Jews, Rasulullah told him, you judged with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judged from above seven heavens. And Zainab, the wife of Rasulullah, said, your fathers married you to the Prophet, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who married me to you. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala married me to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
النصوص التي فيها التصريح بأن الله تعالى في السماء.
And also there are other
التصريح بأن الله تعالى في السماء. مثل قوله تعالى أأمنتم من في السماء. أأمنتم من في السماء أي يقصد بكم الأرض.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, are you saved from the one in the skies to
حديث الجارية في صحيح مسلم لما سألها النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أين الله قالت
punish you. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the little girl, a person he has to expiate for his oath, and he brought his slave girl to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, asked her, where is Allah? She pointed to the sky and said, Allah is in the sky. He said, who is me? Who am I? She said, you are the messenger of Allah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, free her because she is a believer.
هذا تشبيه بالمخلوق وتحيز وكذا وجهة وكذا وهذا كله.
So some people they use that and say that this is resembling Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creation, and this is of course rejected.
طيب ما معنى في السماء هنا؟ قالوا في بمعنى على. هل في السماء بمعنى أن السماء ظرف يحوي الله سبحانه وتعالى؟ كلا، تعالى الله عن ذلك. وإنما فيها هنا بمعنى على، وهي من الاستعمالات العربية، كما في قوله تعالى لأصلبنكم في جذوع النخل، يعني عليها أو فوقها. ليس معنى في جذوع النخل بمعنى داخل الجذوع بحيث تكون الجذوع يعني ظرفا يحويهم، ولكن في جذوع النخل بمعنى عليها أو فوقها.
So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned about Bani Israel.
النوع الخامس النصوص التي فيها التصريح باختصاص بعض الأشياء لأنها عند الله سبحانه وتعالى. ثم نجد أن هذه الأشياء الموصوفة بأنها عند الله موصوفة بالعلو، يعني نجد أشياء موصوفة بالعلو وموصوفة في نفس الوقت بأنها عند الله، إذا هذا دليل على علو الله سبحانه وتعالى. إذا كانت الأشياء العالية توصف بأنها عند الله. إذن هذا
so if the high things is described تعالى. That it is high, so of course Allah the one created should be higher than.
ما جاء عن الملائكة قال سبحانه وتعالى إن الذين عند ربك.
Allah سبحانه وتعالى talked about the angels and said the ones with your Lord they do not they are not arrogant from submitting to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. Where are the angels? The angels are in the heavens.
الصحيحين إن
and the hadith narrated in Bukhari and Muslim
فهو عنده فوق عرشه.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wrote script so it is with him on his throne
إن رحمتي سبقت
that my mercy preceded my anger. عنده فوق
عرشه إن رحمتي سبقت غضب.
My mercy preceded my anger. So what is the throne? So the throne is described that it is above the seven heavens. And
فوق العرش عند الله. هذا فيه علو.
What is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means it is high. If it's described as high means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is high.
النصوص التي فيها الرفع والصعود والعروج.
Also among the other categories that Allah سبحانه وتعالى revealed that describes his highness. But any Allah سبحانه وتعالى mentioned about certain things that it ascends and it descends from Allah سبحانه وتعالى. So why when we say something descends from the sky we don't say it descends to Allah? Why thinks in the heaven we said it ascends to Allah, why we don't say it ascends to the heaven? So that means Allah is not down but Allah is up. And also Allah said about Isa, peace be upon him, Allah ascended or Allah raised him, raised Isa to him. Means he is up. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the deeds, that all the good deeds goes or raised to Allah or ascends to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises the good deeds or the pious deeds. So this indicates the highness of Allah. Also, the dua or the supplication of the transgressed, Allah will raise it above the sky and said, I will give you support even after a while. The souls of the believers, it goes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the hadith narrated by Al-Bara ibn Azib in Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, in the explanation of the verse of Allah, that the souls of the criminals or the kuffar, it will not be raised more than the sky, it will come back to the people again. But the souls of the pious and righteous, it will go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the angels are raised to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I mean they ascend to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in many narrations. The hadith of the mi'raj of the Prophet or the ascension of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, more than 30 narrations in Bukhari and the Muslim. And in those narrations, it says that Rasulullah
sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So Rasulullah ascended above the seven heavens, and Allah subhanahu wa taala talked to him.
عندها جنة المأوى برضو يعني مثل جنة المأوى
is above سدرة المنتهى
يعني لدليل سابق لأنها عند الله
it is with Allah سبحانه وتعالى and Asiya the wife of Fir'aun she said oh Allah build a house for me with you in Jannah means it is high
سدرة المنتهى التي هي فوق السماء السابعة كلمه ربه سبحانه وتعالى وفرض عليه 50 صلاة.
And Allah سبحانه وتعالى raised رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم to the seven heavens, and he ordained 50 prayers on him, and the Rasulullah sallam descended to the sixth sky. He found Musa, peace be upon him, and told him, what did Musa told him, what did Allah order you? He said 50 prayers. Then Rasulullah told him 50 prayers. Then Musa said, go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask him to decrease it, because my people were ordered with less than that and they were not able to do. Then he ascended again to Sidrat al-Muntaha, and then he kept going between Allah and the Musa, peace be upon him. So this all proves the ascension and the descension of Rasulullah sallallahu. And every time Allah decreased it by 10, until the last time he said 5 times. Then Musa alayhi salam told him, go back to Allah after even 5 prayers. So Rasulullah salam said, I feel shy from Allah, from many times I went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah called him and he said, with me nothing changes. There are 5 in performance and 50 in reward. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered it so you can have the reward of 50. So when they decreased in performance, still Allah did not cut us off the good reward of 50. So the quote is, Allah, here the quote is that Rasulullah sallam goes ascend to Allah. That's also a proof that Allah is high, the highness of Allah. Also among the types or the categories, proofs of the highness of Allah is the hadith or the narrations that Allah descends. It says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes to the first heaven, or he comes to the land of resurrection or accountability of people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will go back, will go down or descend on the first heaven and the last third of the night, and he said, is there anybody asking any questions? So I respond to him. Anybody seeking forgiveness? So I forgive him. Anybody wants mercy? So I shower him with my mercy. And also Allah, as Rasulullah sallam said, will descend in the night of Arafah, and he would tell his angels, look to my servants, how they came all exhausted and tired, and they are asking my forgiveness. I make you my witness that I forgive all of them. Also in the night, also in the day of the resurrection, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come from the seven heaven on the land of resurrection, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will account his people. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala descends to the first heaven, he is described as he descended, or he is described as descension. And this is the proof that Allah is high. The other category, that whatever descends from the heavens, it is described as it descended from Allah. So anything that coming from the heavens, it is described that it is descended from Allah to earth. And when it is in the earth and ascends to the sky, it says it ascends to Allah. So descending from Allah, like the descension of the angels, the order, the book, the revelation, Quran is described that it is descended from Allah. And when it came to earth, it says that it descended from Allah. That means Allah is up. And the angels, they come down. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran that he make the angels descend with his order. The 10th category is raising the hands and the eyes when making supplication to Allah, raising them to the heavens. Rasulullah ﷺ, when he make qunut or in the dua for rain, he raised his hand to the sky and he pointed with his index finger to the sky. So Rasulullah ﷺ is pointing to the direction of Allah. He's above. So he's raising his eyes to the highness of Allah, and he is asking Allah, and this also proves the highness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also Rasulullah said, you will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the day of judgment, as you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you see, so you're seeing Allah in the day of judgment as you're seeing the moon when it's full, or the full moon in the night of the 14th or the 15th. And also Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam resembled seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is like seeing the sun and the moon. It is not like Allah will be like the sun or the moon, but the seeing clear sun and the moon is like you will be clearly seeing Allah as you clearly seeing the sun in the day and the moon in the night. So those are the categories of the proofs for Allah's highness. But under each category there is numerous verses and hadith and narrations. Also among the proofs is the consensus of the companions and the tabi'een, and among those who narrated this consensus that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the seven heavens, on his throne is Imam Abdul Qadir al-Jilani ibn Rushd, Walid ibn Rushd, and Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari himself. May Allah have mercy on him, because he repented at the end from his thought, Madhab al-Ash'ari, and he said that I am dying on the Madhab or the school of thought of Imam al-Ahmad, the complete, the perfect Imam of Sunnah, and he praised his way and the way of Ahl al-Sunnah, and he regretted what he did. And all the books of Imam Abu al-Hasan al-Ash'ari, which reached us, he wrote when he was proving the characteristics of Allah, like the book of Al-Ibana and the essays of the Islamists and the message of Al-Ash'ari to the soldiers fighting for the sake of Allah and so on. So all of it is he's narrating the consensus of the companions and the tabi'een for proving the highness of Allah. Ibn Abd al-Barr, Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn al-Qayyim, Imam al-Zahabi, Ibn Kathir, and numerous scholars, they narrated the proving or the affirming of the highness of Allah. And they wanted to go to the book, a great book of Al-Ulu, Highness, the Highness by Imam Zahabi. He mentioned hundreds of narrations from the companions and the tabi'een that Allah is above his throne, above the seven heavens, and he is separated from his creation. We come now to those who negated the highness, how they answer those or respond to those narrations. Those who negate, they have some doubts. We don't say arguments, doubts. They said istawa means istawla. Istawa in Arabic means he stayed above, but istawla means he took over the throne. And they said the word istawa, it comes with that meaning of istawla, means took over. And there is a verse. They said also that the Arabs used to say that Bishr, one of the leaders, he took over Iraq without blood or sword. And the word they used is istawla, or istawa ala al-Iraq, means istawa means became above Iraq. Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned 40 arguments to prove void this poetry and their doubt. He said, first of all, this verse of poetry is not said by whomever they mentioned that he said it. It is a made-up poetry, and he said the one, even they are the ones who are, the one who are, whom they claiming that he said it, he's a Christian. So even if the verse of poetry is true, the person who said it, he does not know what he's talking about, and he does not know the Arabic language well, if it is correct. And it was never mentioned by any Arab who knows more poetry and more literature than this claimed poet used that word that way. And the Arabs, they said only stawla, or took over something, only when he fought for getting it. Means it was in the hand of someone else. And he overcame and he overpowered that person or that entity, then he took over. So that means the throne was in the hand of someone, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took over by overpowering this entity. Of course, they cannot say that. It is glory be to Allah. They wanted to purify Allah. They ended up resembling Allah and the and giving or accusing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that it was taken from him and then he succeeded to take it later.
لما كان للعرش خصوصية لماذا لم يأتي قط في أي آية أو حديث أن الله تعالى استوى على شيء إلا على العرش.
And also the other Ibn Taymiyyah mentioned and that why only العرش Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he's above the throne.
لماذا لم يأتي إلا أن الله تعالى استوى على العرش.
If it is that so if it's overcame that means Allah have overpowered someone to take over the heavens, over the humans, over the jinn, over the angels. Why only the throne? Then we ask them and say, why you said that istawa means being above, means overcame something and took over it? They would say that because the created is the one who comes above something and he sits on his chair and he sits on his couch and so on. But when you say that Allah sits on his throne, that means you're resembling Allah to his creation. We tell them that taking over something, isn't it also the description of or the characteristic of the created? People also take over things. So why you negated this and you proved this? They said, we say only that taking over something the way only fits Allah. We're still doing the same thing. Allah sits on his throne the way only fits him also. So why you take another, you interpret it wrong and they said that wrong interpretation only the way it fits Allah. We say the right interpretation the way it fits Allah.
بالأسانيد الصحيحة عن جمع من الصحابة والتابعين اللي هي استوى على العرش.
So this meaning of استوى means being above means he sat on his throne came from all the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم the تابعين and the guided precessor.
بأنه قعد أو جلس.
Only Mujahid, he is the one who said, Mujahid ibn Jabr is the one who said that Allah sat on the throne. But all the Imams or most of them, they didn't want to say that word sat on the throne. Said he is above the throne. So as we said, we don't go and we mention details of affirming or details of negating. We don't mention it. We just mention it as general as it came.
وإنما ثبتت كتفسير من التابعين الجليل مجاهد بن جبر صاحب ابن عباس لآيات الاستواء فنقول يعني يحتمل أن
we say that maybe مجاهد he said it as a description of Allah, maybe it is a characteristic of Allah, maybe it is a characteristic of Allah, the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants. Daraqutni and Ibn Hamad and many other scholars of Sunnah, they chosen this interpretation. But still the majority of the Ahl Sunnah, they said we don't go in detail the interpretation with confirming or negating.
The
Imams of Sunnah, they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is separated or separate from his creation. Abu Zur'a and Abu Hatim al-Razi said that all the scholars in all cities and countries of Islamic State that Allah is separate from his creation. They said, saying that statement started in the time of Tabi'i Tabi'in, in the time of Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak and ibn Ishaq and Abu Zur'a and Imam al-Darimi, Ibn Abi Shayb and so on. They were forced to say that openly, even though their predecessors didn't say it, because it was necessary to say, to answer the Jahmiyya and the Mu'tazila that they said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is united with his creation and he is in the form of his creation, human beings and so on. So people of Sunnah, they were forced to clarify that by a precise, straightforward statement like that, that Allah is separate from his creation. About the word jiha, direction, had means limitation and makan means space or space engaged or place. We said that those words did not come from the guided processor? Do we say that Allah in a certain direction, or Allah is limited, or there is a limit, or there is a border between Allah and His creation, or Allah in a certain specific place? We say that those words are general words. It can be used rightly, it can be used wrongly. So if we say it that Allah is special, He is away, He is not encompassed or confined by any direction or limitation, then it's correct. But if it is of negating it, will be like negating it altogether, then it is wrong. If we delay the questions, delay the questions after the lesson, inshallah.
من دسائس المبتدع وليس من كلام التحاوي يعني الله تعالى هنا يقول يعني بعض الشراح ذكر أن هذا الموضع تعالى عن الحدود والغايات والأركان والأعضاء والأدوات
From the people of Bid'ah and not the word of Tahawi. This needs to go back to the scripts and so on. We cannot. But it is known that this is the word of Tahawi, and many of people who explained the Tuharid, like Abul Izz and others, they mentioned this statement as Tahawi said it, even Sheikh Ibn Baz in his. Observations for Tahawi, he mentioned this one.
الشيخ المانع طيب هذه فائده يعني جزاك الله خير الشيخ هنا يقول الشيخ المانع
ربنا يرسل الشيخ المانع
رحمه الله
يعني يلا ميرسي سيد This is not a statement of Tahawi.
مساله نفي نسبه عباره عن
As I say, academically or to be honestly, to negate or prove something for someone who said it, we have to go to the original script written by his hand, and it is easy to do that.
طيب مسألة المعية كيفية التوفيق بين نصوص العلو ونصوص المعية يعني من ضمن الشبهات أهل البدع في مسألة العلو يعني يقول لك إن الله تعالى يعني ذكر أنه مع خلقه في مواضع كثيرة من كتابه وهو معكم أينما كنتم.
And they have also some other doubts, like the verses of Allah. Allah said, He's with you wherever you go, and there is no whispering or conversation between two people or four people except Allah is the third or the fifth. And they said that Allah is with His creation, and this is this contradicts that He's above. So they made the texts of companionship of Allah or the association of Allah with people is like He is far. And we answer by saying there is no contradiction. We know that there is association is general and specific. Allah is with everyone. That means with His knowledge, with His with seeing, with hearing. Even though Allah is above the seven heavens above His throne, He is with His creation, with His knowledge, with His seeing, with His hearing. Nothing escapes His knowledge. He hears them, He sees them. Glory be to Him. And there is a special association of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to support and to guide and to give victory and help.
لئن أقمتم الصلاة مثلا لا تحزن إن الله معنا قول موسى عليه السلام إن معي ربي
موسى عليه السلام said Allah is with me, will guide me. الرسول عليه السلام told Abu Bakr don't worry, Allah is with us. Allah سبحانه وتعالى said I'm with you if you make salah and zakah, I will support you. So there is no contradiction between being with the creation and being above His creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered both of them in the book of Allah. And nobody can say that the book of Allah has discrepancies or contradiction. So if they say that this contradicts, that means they are saying that there are discrepancies in the Quran. So also, it is linguistically also proven, their doubt is proven wrong, that a person says, I'm walking and the moon is walking with me, or the moon is with me, moon is in the sky and you are in the ground, but you're saying that it is with me? Does that mean that you are walking with the moon?
فإذا يعني هما مجتمعان في حق المخلوق ففي حق الخالق أولى
So if it is used for the created, how it's not used for the creator?
العامة هي معية العلم والسمع والبصر والإحاطة، والمعية الخاصة معية التوفيق والتأكيد.
So we said the general is we're being with everyone of the knowledge and specific is guiding the pious and righteous, and this does not contradict him being high above his throne.
دليل على أن المعية يراد بها معية العلم وليس معية يعني تقتضي حلولا ولا اتحادا ولا معاني باطلة. الدليل على ذلك يعني كل آيات المعية العامة تجدها يعني
also all the verses of the general companionship of Allah with people, it says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described with knowledge. So it was said to Imam Ahmad, some people of innovation told him, what do you say that Allah is with you? If you are two, he is, if you are three, he is four, fourth, and if you are five, he is the sixth. More or less, he is with them. Imam Ahmad told him, read what is before it and read what's after it. Read the beginning of the verse and read the end of the verse. What is the beginning of the verse? The beginning of the verse, it says, don't you see that Allah's knowledge encompasses what is in the heavens and earth? There is no conversation between two except Allah is the third and no three and the fourth. Because in the beginning, Allah spoke about knowledge. And at the end, فينبئهم بما عملوا. And at the end, for sure, Allah has the knowledge of everything. So in the beginning, Allah spoke about His knowledge, and at the end of the verse, Allah spoke about the knowledge. Then in the beginning, in the middle, means Allah is referring to knowledge. Also in Surah Al-Hadid, it says that Allah knows what happens in earth or what happens in earth, and He is with you wherever you go, and Allah's knowledge is encompassing whatever you do. So in the knowledge in the beginning, knowledge at the end, and what is in between is relating to knowledge.
يعني قراءة النصوص واضحة وجلية في أن المراد بها معية العلم والإحاطة والسمع والبصر، وليس المراد بها يعني معية تقتضي اتحاد الله.
So it is not Allah being with you means He is united, or it is contradicting the highness of Allah.
من خلال يعني ما ذكرنا نستطيع أن
about what we mentioned today, we should know that whoever says that Allah is everywhere, is it true or false? This is general. If the person means that Allah Himself is everywhere, this is false. But with His knowledge, everywhere, yes.
يعني هذا حتى فيه يعني سوء أدب مع الله.
And this is of course this is
عن الأماكن التي لا تليق. كلمة كل مكان كل جملة الفاظ العموم زي ما خدنا في الأصول.
Misbehavior with Allah is not a good behavior with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are places that you don't even yourself want to go there, like the places of dirt or trash, or that it's, Allah is glorified from being there Himself, that He's united with creation and so on. Glory be to Allah.
علمه في كل مكان، لا نقول ان الله
Allah's knowledge is everywhere.
في كل مكان، الله تعالى مستوى على عرشه دائم من خلقه، كما كان السلف يعبرون ان الله تعالى مستوى على عرشه دائم من خلقه، وعلمه في كل مكان. لا يغيب.
So Allah is above His throne, separated from His, separate from His creation, but nothing escapes His knowledge. He is everywhere with His knowledge. Whenever we ask, where is Allah, we say that Allah is in the heavens, or we say Allah is above the seven heavens, above His throne. Glory be to Him. Here comes some intellectual arguments, and all of it were responded and answered. Whoever want to go to it, go to Sheikh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah. He is the best. He is the master in answering and responding to all those astrologers and astronomers, and they say that Earth now is round, as we know, and being above does not necessarily mean above. If we look above us, there are people who are living in the other side of the Earth, so the Earth is above them.
كيف يكون الله سبحانه وتعالى فوق.
How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above.
شيخ الإسلام رد عليهم.
So Sheikh Islam Ibn Taymiyyah answered them nicely.
من خلال يعني علم الفلك وكذا.
He spoke to them from their knowledge and science. He answered them astrologically.
هل فوق الأرض جهات متعددة أو هي جهة واحدة فوقية يعني؟ يعني والله حتى يعني بعض أنا أتكلم في العصر الحديث يعني.
Even some scholars in our modern life.
إنه فوق الأرض هي جهة واحدة يعني. أنت لو طلعت صاروخ إلى القمر مثلاً.
He said above the sky, above the earth is one direction.
واحد هيروح في جهة واحد هيروح في جهة أخرى. كله هيطلع فوق يعني لو في صاروخ طلع إلى.
If there is a rocket launched from everywhere in the earth, is there any rocket will go through earth up, or all of them will go straight up? So even earth is round and everything. Being the direction of above is above one direction, and all of it is like mathematical and astrological and scientific theories. All these theories is object to change.
وإذا اتجه إلى السماوات إلى الفوقية يعني هي جهة واحدة يتجه إليها يعني من أراد أن يتجه إلى الفوقية.
It is one direction everybody moves to.
هذا غير متعذر في حق المخلوق. بس لو فرضنا أن المخلوق يتعذر عليه أن.
But if we say that
الفوقية تتناقض في حق المخلوق مثلاً من مكان إلى مكان.
It contradicts with the created. It does not contradict with the creator. It does not apply to Allah سبحانه وتعالى. This is the laws that confining us and limiting us. And Allah is the one who created us. So how can we apply to Allah? Some people make an example. Said if there is a room.
أو كأس صغير مثلاً وفيه نمل. أو كذا بعضهم مثلاً أو كرة مثلاً مدورة.
If there is a
مغلقة
closed box and it have ants, some of it walking up, some of it down, some of it on the side. All of them walking into different directions. And if you put your hand above the box, your hand is above all of them. So for them, they have different directions they are moving to. But your hand is above them all. So you don't know your hand is up or down means one ant, its head is toward your hand and one hand its leg toward yours and back and up. For Allah is the greatest example. Allah is above all heavens.
ويرفع بصره إلى السماء على أي بقعة كان من الأرض فالله سبحانه وتعالى فوقه.
So wherever you are, Allah سبحانه وتعالى is above you.
طيب هذا ما يتعلق يعني بإثبات العلو لله سبحانه وتعالى وما يتعلق به من المسألة. طيب نواصل قول الإمام الطحاوي رحمه الله. يقول الإيمان بالإسراء والمعراج يعني هنا الموضع الكلام عن الإيمان بالإسراء والمعراج. يقول والمعراج حق وقد أسري بالنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعرج بشخصه في اليقظة إلى السماء.
He says that معراج
إلى حيث شاء الله من العلا وأكرمه الله بما شاء.
And the ascent through the heavens is true. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم was taken by night and ascended in the bodily form while awake through the heavens to whatever heights Allah willed for him. Allah ennobled him in the way that He ennobled him and revealed to him what He revealed to him. This heart was not mistaken about what it saw. Surah An-Najm 53:11. Allah blessed him and granted him peace in this world and the next. So we believe in Isra and the Mi'raj because it is among the issues of belief and faith. And the narrations of Isra and the Mi'raj, they are too many. And they all mutawatir, authentic in Bukhari and Muslim. In Sahih al-Bukhari alone, there is 20 hadith narrated from 6 of the companions. And in Sahih Muslim, there is 18 hadith coming from 7 of the companions that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was taken by night, journeyed by night to Jerusalem, and then from there he went to the seven heavens. Those hadith explained by by many scholars in full in the details. And the word Isra mentioned in Surah named after that. Isra means journey by night. Glory be to the one who took his servant in the journey by night to Masjid al-Aqsa. And the Mi'raj came in Surah Al-Najm, chapter 53. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him above the seven heavens, Sidrat al-Muntaha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that his heart was not mistaken about what it saw of the glory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Mi'raj is in Surah Al-Najm and Isra in Surah Al-Isra.
Taking
the Prophet ﷺ journey by night, it was with his body and his soul, and he was in the state of awakeness, not in sleep. If Al-Isra was while in a sleep, the disbelievers or the mushrikeen wouldn't have disbelieved and they debated it. If he told them that I saw in the dream that I went to the Baitul Maqdis in Jerusalem and I went to the heavens, nobody would say anything to him. Said, okay, just a dream. But they disbelieved and they argued because he went, because many people even rejected the faith. People said that we go to Jerusalem in 1 month and we come back in 1 month, and he claims that he went to one night.
لما تجذب الناس يعني وارتابوا في تصديق النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم.
Those people who doubted.
They came to Abu Bakr and they told him, do you see what your friend claims?
He went to Jerusalem and he went to the heavens. Abu Bakr said, he did not hear it from the Prophet himself. He said, if he says, he's truthful. So the Prophet called him since then Siddiq. So he, Abu Bakr said, we believe him that Allah sends to him messages from the sky while he is among us. How we don't believe that Allah took him up? It's easy. So he was in the height stage of believing in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made Isra before Mi'raj, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can describe Baytul Maqdis or Jerusalem or Masjid al-Aqsa for them. So somebody would say, why he did not go straight to the heavens from Mecca? For many reasons, of course, but one of them that Allah wanted it to be a physical trip and journey. It was in some, for something which is in this world. What happened when they disbelieved in Prophet ﷺ? They told them, describe Jerusalem to us. They knew for sure that Rasulullah ﷺ never visited it. They told them, describe it for us. How many gates? And Rasulullah said, they asked me about many things that I was not aware of. I did not meticulously look to it. So Rasulullah said, Allah showed me the picture of it in detail, so I started looking at it, at that picture and describing it. All the pillars, and they said, describe this, describe that. And Rasulullah described all of them, even though he did not see it before. Even Rasulullah increased and they told them more, that in the road I passed by a caravan for such and such tribe, and I say salam to them, and they answered my salam, and there is one red camel in the vanguard of that caravan, and if nothing happens to them, they will reach in such and such time, such and such day. And they arrived in same place, same time. They asked them, did you see Muhammad? They said, we heard his voice, but we didn't see him. And we answered this salam. So Isra al-Mi'raj, it was in the state of awakeness, not sleep. And it was with the body and the soul of Rasulullah sallam. And among the things that happened, Isra, Rasulullah sallam prayed in Masjid al-Aqsa, and then Jibreel, in Mecca, and then Jibril came to him with al-buraq, which is described as white color, bigger than a donkey and smaller than a horse, and it puts its hooves to the end of its vision, or what it sees in the horizon. Then Rasulullah left Mecca riding al-buraq with Jibril. And Rasulullah before that, he was sleeping in his house, which was owned by Umm Hani, his cousin. So Rasulullah was in the house of Umm Hani, and Jibril came and opened the ceiling of that house, and then he took Rasulullah al-Hatim to al-Hatim, al-Hijr, which is that part of Kaaba, and he split his throat from his from under his throat all the way under his navel, and he opened his chest, and he washed his heart with in a container of gold, which is used to clean the hearts and wash the hearts of the prophets with the water of Zamzam. Then he put his heart back, and he put his chest back again, and then he make him rode in that animal. He prayed in. It's narrated that he prayed in Medina, then in the tour of Sina, then he is in Bethlehem where Isa, Madian where Shu'aib, then Bethlehem where Isa. He stopped in every place, and then he prayed, and he went back while his bed was still warm. So it is just few minutes, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala changed the concept of time for Rasulullah. So he prayed 2 rak'ah in Medina, then 2 rak'ah in Sinai, then 2 rak'ah in Bethlehem, then to Raqqa in Madian, then he went to Jerusalem, and then Allah gathered all the prophets and messengers, how all of them gathered in Bayt al-Maqdis, even though all their bodies in their graves and their souls is in Jannah, are in Jannah. The scholars said that the souls of the prophets, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the power and the ability for them to be in form which is similar to their form when they were alive. So their bodies was in the graves, and the souls in the heavens, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the souls in the form, their form to where Rasulullah was. So Rasulullah saw them, and as they were described to him by Allah. So the souls have the power with the order of Allah to move fast. He prayed the Imam in Jerusalem, then he went to the heavens and he found them also in the heavens. So their souls move fast. So body is like an imprisonment for the soul, it confines it. But once it leaves the body, then the soul is free. So Rasulullah led the prophets as Imam, and then he ascended to the heavens, and he met Adam in the first heaven, and he greeted him with salam. Then he went to the second heavens, and he found Yahya and Isa, and he also greeted them with salam. Then he went to the third, and he saw Yusuf, peace be upon him. Then the fourth heaven, and he saw Idris, peace be upon him. Then the fifth heaven, he found there Harun, peace be upon him. Then the sixth, he found Musa, peace be upon him. Then the seventh, and he found Ibrahim, peace be upon him. عليه السلام. طبعا أحداث الإسراء والمعراج لها يعني تفصيلات كثيرة يرجع إليها في and the incidents of Isra and Mi'raj, it is in the books of Sunnah. We only, this is enough for us here. Anyways, the outline briefly is that Rasulullah ascended to the heavens and Allah talked to him behind the barrier. And we mentioned the dispute that there are two, and the majority, two opinions, and the majority of them is of the scholars and the companions and the tabi'een, is that Allah did not talk directly to the Prophet ﷺ, but behind the barrier Rasulullah ﷺ didn't see Allah, and he made five prayers ordained on him, or Sidratul Muntaha, Sidratul Muntaha, Sidra. It is a lote tree, and this is the greatest lote tree. Rasulullah described it and said its leaves is like the ears of elephants, and the fruits of this lote tree is like one of them is like the pottery of Hajar. Pottery of Hajar is a big container that they used to put water in it. It's like 100 gallons container or 100 gallons pottery jug. So Rasulullah ascended till there, and there was Jannatul Ma'wa, the Jannah of Al Ma'wa. It is created already, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala finished from its creation already. And it is prepared for the pious and righteous, as well as the hellfire. So it's already prepared. So Rasulullah entered the Jannah, and he saw the amazing things of Jannah, and he saw its rivers, and he also went to hellfire and saw its punishment with the power of Allah. So briefly, we prove for Rasulullah, and we believe that he ascended to the heavens with his body and his soul awake, not sleeping, as narrated and as came revealed in the book of Allah and the Sunnah of Rasulullah, and we believe in all the details. We stop here and we ask Allah SWT to benefit us of what we said and what we heard. Praise be to Allah, glory be to Him. We bear witness there is no one worthy of worship but Him, and that Muhammad is His messenger. We postpone the questions for tomorrow, inshallah. Glory be to Allah. There is no one worthy of worship but Him. We seek His forgiveness.